Hola, hola, mi gente. Espero que se encuentren bien desde donde nos escuchen y que se estén protegiendo en estos momentos duros. Hello, everyone. I hope that all is well from wherever you are listening and that you are staying safe during these difficult moments. First of all, thank you for sticking around. I wouldn't be here without you. Acantanos wouldn't be here without having you guys still as our loyal listeners. Muchas gracias por todo el amor y por todo el apoyo que nos siguen dando aquí en Acantanos. Los aprecio mucho. Thank you all for listening and for all the love and support. I really do appreciate you guys. I am grateful to continue to have this platform. I know that times could be very difficult right now with everything that's going on with this new COVID-19 pandemic, but I hope that you guys are staying sane, you're staying healthy. Hopefully you're staying busy and productive if you can. And if you can and you just want to lay around, that's okay too. You got to take care of that mental health and making sure that you guys are staying as calm as we can, right? Taking it one day at a time. And if you have some time and extra time on your hands, I hope you're listening to some of our old episodes. If you're new to Acá Entre Nos and our platform, or even the new ones that are coming out as we go. Today, we have an awesome episode coming up with our guest, Mayra Hernandez. She is here today to tell us a little bit about her story and share with you guys some of her current focuses and what led her to write and publish her first book. I'm glad she is using our platform, and I'm really excited to have her here. Hoy tenemos un episodio increíble con nuestra invitada, Mayra Hernandez. Ella está aquí hoy para contarnos un poquito de su historia y para compartir con ustedes todo su enfoque y lo que la llevó a escribir y publicar su primer libro. Y me alegra mucho que está usando nuestra plataforma para contarnos su historia. Desde Arizona, se me hace que Phoenix, Arizona, aquí tenemos a Mayra. Hola, Mayra, ¿cómo estás?
Hola, Kelsey. Mucho gusto. Y gracias por tenerme aquí. Thank you for having me. Like Kelsey mentioned, my name is Mayra Hernandez, and I am an author of a book that I titled Aventura, Amor y Tacos, The Path to Reconnecting with the Motherland. And I really just discuss what it was like for me to go back to Mexico and spend time in the ranchos that my parents grew up in.
I am so excited to read it. I have unfortunately not started reading it yet, but Mayra did already send me my copy, and I'm really excited. So why don't you start by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself, your identity, and what led you to, well, the big adventure of going to live in Mexico?
Yeah, thank you. So I am an author, and I consider myself a little bit of a writer. But I never really took on the title till just recently. What really led to this adventure was back in 2018, I was at a job where I felt like I was burned out. I didn't want to go to another job and feel like it was another step. And maybe I would feel again like I would have to find another and a better job. And I think that's what I found myself doing a lot after college was, okay, this job wasn't great, let me move on to the next one, and let me move on to the next one. And it always felt like I needed to find something different to be happy. So eventually I just got to a place where let me go and travel for a little bit and get back to figuring out what my purpose is and what I want, what I really want to do in life. At that point, I knew I didn't want to work for a while till I just like figured it out. And I thought about the different places where I can go and really spend a long time, either traveling, exploring. And the first place I really thought of was Mexico, because I could really stretch a dollar out there. And I would get a chance to visit my abuelos and stay with my abuelos and see what it would be like to live in the place that my parents left behind. So I was in the ranchos for 5 months, and I didn't really go with an intention to write a book. It was just that when I was there, a lot of epiphanies were happening, you know, for me. I consider myself a Mexican-American, first generation. And when I was in Mexico, I was able to really explore a lot of what that meant for me. What is it like to be a child of an immigrant? And what is it like to be Mexican American in America, and then Mexican American in Mexico. And with that, I was really able to come to terms with what that meant for me and find empowerment in it and learn more about my family and my abuelos, and learn how to cook for my abuela, and just like many other things that really helped me discover myself fully. And what was cool about that is that I felt like a lot of the things that were happening to me, I needed to share with others, because if I was struggling with my identity, I'm sure others would too. And that's kind of where the thought of writing a book came about, because I felt like I learned a lot from my abuelos and my tías and my cousins and everybody else who was there in Mexico.
Wow. So you didn't go there at all with the idea of, did you go with the idea of self-discovery and figuring out some of those struggles you were having with your identity, or did some of those struggles not really show up until you were living there?
I think more of a second. So that's a really good question. I think it didn't show up till I was there, because it was very much something that I couldn't hide, right? So I didn't go so much to like rediscover my identity. I did go with the intention of, let me take a pause, let me find peace again, let me be like más tranquila, you know, in a country where you can actually make it happen, right? What ended up happening was that I couldn't hide my identity. So there's this concept that I talk about, ni de aquí ni de allá. And when I was in Mexico, I recognized more of my privilege that I didn't really want to come to terms with. So one of the things we talk about is, here in the United States, we, as first generation children of immigrant people of color, we often find ourselves in underprivileged situations, right? We're not widely represented in college. We're not widely represented in the professional environment. And there's a lot of things that we miss out just because of being, you know, children of immigrant people of color. When I was in Mexico, everything kind of got flipped around, because even though I was like a child of an immigrant, in Mexico, I go and I experience the privilege, because now I speak two languages, I speak English, I have a college education. And I think before I understood that, like, I would always visit Mexico, but it would always be for like a week, maybe 2 weeks. Living there, you can't hide from that privilege. And it was the first time that I really experienced my full privilege and my full identity, because I now had to associate myself with being an American. And before, I don't think I fully accepted that side of my identity.
That actually, the ni de aquí ni de allá is such a common phrase. And I think that even Mexican Americans or Latinos that were born here and have lived through their whole lives here and haven't really had the experience to go to Mexico can even really relate to it. I've never actually lived in Mexico for a long period of time, but when we were younger, our mom would send us away for the summer, and we did get a lot of the, like, that feeling, even when we were little kids, cousins and I, or even my sister and I, that, like, we knew we weren't necessarily from there, but we had just this big connection to our roots and our grandmother and our aunts and uncles and all of our family that was still there, that, like, made us feel so proud, I guess, when we came back, and so proud even when we were there to be our families from Zacatecas, Mexico. And so it was like I would wear this, like, pride of, like, Zacatecana, and like, you know, this is where I'm from, and this is where my family roots come from. That I feel like not a lot of people understood unless you were able to actually spend time out there and see a kind of, like you said earlier, where your parents came from and where it all started and what they left behind. So I'm really excited to hear a little bit more of what that was like for you. Well, even your parents, what did your parents think when you decided to move? Like, what was your family like?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And I mean, you bring up such a good point, because that's kind of how I grew up too. As a kid, I remember going every year for Christmas. We would go for like 3 weeks. So I grew up going to Mexico as well. And from when I started freshman year in college till like my professional career, there was an 8 year gap where I hadn't been back to the ranchos. And my parents are from Michoacán. So it was interesting because I had an opportunity to go back in 2016, and I remembered how peaceful it was. I was like, this is nice. Like, there's no Wi-Fi. Like, people can't bug me on my phone. So I got really disconnected. And then I went again in 2017. And that year I was really stressed out with work, and I remember thinking, I could totally live here and enjoy it. Like fresh tortillas every day, like homemade meals every day, with my abuelos, you know. So in 2018, where everything kind of unraveled at work, I was already talking to my parents about like, I need to find a different job, or I need to leave that job because it's not fair to me to be overworked and underpaid. And I kind of started throwing the idea out there of like, oh, like, wouldn't it be interesting if I went back to Mexico? Mind you, my parents always kind of think I have these random ideas, but they never thought it was going to actually happen. So the first thing that happened was I quit my job. And, or no, I'm sorry. The first thing that happened was that my lease was over in my apartment. So I moved back home for like a couple of weeks, and my parents, I think they assumed that I was going to look for another job closer to home. Then I was living in West Covina, working in Riverside. So being in LA, I thought, you know, I just assumed that they thought I was going to move closer. So secondly, I ended up quitting my job. And that's when I think my parents were like, okay, maybe she's a little serious. But even then, I think they thought I was going to get another job. And then I decided to go to Mexico, and my dad came along with me. And when my mom was leaving me at the airport, she still asked me, are you really going to stay there? You know, so even then, when I had my flight booked and when I told them I was going to be living there, they still had this hesitancy. And I think they thought I was like, maybe I just need a break or something, but I don't think they thought I was going to be there for so long. Because everybody, the way they talk about Mexico, it's kind of like that's the life they left behind because of the lack of opportunity. And they came to the States, and this is the life they built. And all of a sudden, one of their daughters wants to go back to Mexico and like live a life de tranquilidad and you know, go enjoy all the good things that Mexico has to offer. And they kind of didn't understand it. But when I was there, what was really cool about it was that they themselves got a little bit more reconnected. So now all of a sudden they were calling me and talking to my grandparents a little bit more. Whereas before, I don't know how often they would call, right? They also started to tell me more stories of their youth because now I was living where they grew up. So I would tell them like, oh, so and so, you know, I met Senora tal y cual and this and that, and then they would tell me more stories. So it kind of became a trend of them telling me more about their childhood and more about the place they grew up, because now I started to talk about the people who live there. So it's kind of nice.
It was even a way of like kind of them reconnecting with that part of their youth that I don't want to say that they might have been ignoring, but might have not been necessarily revisiting as often as they probably were now that you were living there.
Yeah, for sure. One thing that I realized was, as first generation, I always attributed like me learning my culture from my parents and, you know, those trips that we took to Mexico. So I always relied on my parents to kind of continuously teach me, right? So like, teach me how to make this, or let me learn from your experiences living in Mexico. But what I didn't realize until I went back was that our parents lose just as much as the culture that we do. Because what I recognized from my parents was that they now have lived in America longer than they ever lived in Mexico. And it really came like to light when my dad was with me in Mexico. Like, I was going with the intention of, you know what, let me be open to everything in Mexico, let me learn. I didn't want to Americanize anything. And then the way my dad was, it's, he's comfortable to the American life. So he was getting like annoyed by the moscas, you know, flying inside the house, and he couldn't stay steady. You know, he was like always trying to find something to do. So his experience and my experience were very different because I was like, let me just be there. And that's when I realized that they have become so much accustomed to the American life, and it's hard for them to return and be still. But I think they also appreciate it because they find a reconnection with the things, you know, in the family that they left behind.
Yeah, and so many times for most immigrants, they're sort of forced to acculturate to the American culture because if not, they do get that sense of like being left behind. It's already hard enough that they have to learn a new language, but you know, having to adapt to the new ways of living and work and food, etc., in comparison to what they had. Some of them come from having a lot more in Mexico, where they were a little bit more, aka well off, I guess, and then having to work lower paying jobs here in the States, or, you know, coming from nothing and not having much in Mexico and making obviously a little bit more money, but still not being valued enough for the work that they do, having to work very long hours. And so that alone is kind of forces a lot of immigrants to acculturate to just really changing their way of living. Even just simply the fact that some have came from ranchos and montes and now they're living in this like city-like areas. Did your dad go and live there with you? It's or was he did he just go for a while and then you stayed and he came back?
Yeah, so he went for 2 weeks and then he came back. So he was just doing his like regular trip to visit. I stayed with his parents, so he was doing that. But I think it really helped him see how important it is to spend time with family, because there's a lot of epiphanies that happened while I was there. So one of them was what I remember going to college, and I went to college in the Bay Area in California. Coming from LA, it was kind of an argument with my family, like, why are you going so far away? You know,
I totally know.
So it was interesting. And I remember, I think for the longest time, I held a lot of resentment because I was like, I worked this hard for so many years, and here you're trying to prevent me from like just moving out, right? And when I was in Mexico, what I realized was that that is the same thing that my parents did. So when they immigrated to the States, they were trying to build a better life, and they were, you know, trying to go somewhere else to make it happen. So is exactly what I did, right? So I didn't see the parallel to that until I was in Mexico and I heard my grandma talking about my dad leaving. You know, how young he was, how, and then I saw the sadness in her of like her retelling those stories. And I was like, oh my God, now I saw my leaving to college from my grandma's perspective. Right. So then I realized that maybe my parents weren't necessarily trying to hold me back, but what I realized was that I struggled a lot in college. Cultural shock was a part of my experience. And I recognized that my parents probably went through those same things when they moved to this country. And I totally isolated my college experience. So I didn't associate it at all with anything related to my parents, in the sense that I didn't think I could rely on them to, like, how do you deal with culture shock? How do you deal with this? Until I saw it in my grandma, and I was able to reflect it back to my parents' experience.
Wow, so in a way, through her stories of them, you connected moments of your life that in that moment you did see it as like they're just trying to hold me back. They're just being strict. They don't want to let me go. But maybe it was even triggering some of their own fears and traumas from what it was like when they left their home.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think the biggest part of that was in the Latino culture, you always hear like the importance of family, the importance of community, right? And I think a lot of their trauma is leaving that behind and not understanding fully what they're, I think they understand what they leave behind, but it's something else when you reconnect with it. So for me, I always understood it as a part of our culture, like family, comunidad, and all that. When I went to Mexico, that's when I fully understood it. How tightly knit a rancho is, how everybody, like, nobody cares a lot about, like, how would I say it? Nobody cares so much about, like, your titles, your college, you know, education, your work experience. They just really care about who you are. Like, are you good? Are you healthy? Are you happy? So the basic thing is what people care about. And that's what I appreciated so much, because I think that's what was lacking a lot in my American life. Like in the workspace, people really truly ask you, how are you? Are you good? Like, you know, have you eaten well? That's something I heard, like, come bien, mija, like, come bien, you know? Those things are things that are lacking in the American culture on the everyday, you know? But in Mexico, they're so true and they're so prominent. And I was able to see the beauty of both cultures. Like, here we have opportunity, there it's like community and love, and you really get to be your full self. And I hear, and for, you know, in America, my experience has been like coach coaching. Like, who am I in the professional space, and who am I with my family, and who am I with my friends, and, you know, everything around.
Yeah, most definitely. Oh my gosh, so many questions, but I do want to ask one before I forget it. I saw that you wrote your book in Spanglish, mm-hmm. a little bit of both languages, which I totally love and connect with, because that's what this is, a Spanglish podcast, which we haven't been doing too much Spanish when it comes to the questions right now, but we'll go there in a little bit. Why did you decide to write it like that, or what made you not want to write it in just one language and then have it translated in the other?
Yeah. So good question. I think for me, it was the fact that I speak in Spanglish. When I talk to my siblings, with my friends, like, siempre se me sale, you know, and I go back, yeah. and that's just how I speak. And I think for me, it was very authentic to my own story. And part of it was, our stories aren't told enough. And they're not told in the way that we would tell them. So they're always like edited a certain way to cater to a different audience. And I really wanted to cater to the audience who relates to my experience. Because we can code switch from English and Spanish, like de un momento a otro, and, you know, go back to it. And that's just how we think, that's how we speak. So I wanted to stay really authentic to that. But I also recognize, like, the other part of that, the American side of me also wants to build a bridge for people to understand my culture and my experience with a bicultural identity. So what I did end up doing was, I did a reference section for any of the Spanish words that I use, where, like, an English speaker can see the word and they can go, you know, to the end and figure out what it means. So that way they're still learning something new about my culture. But my story stays very authentic to how I would speak it.
I really like that you used both languages, and just Spanglish, I relate so much just to simply the fact that Spanglish is recognized, because even going back to that saying, right, ni de aquí ni de allá, I think sometimes when you have, like, when you're bicultural and you are gifted enough to speak two languages, but there's that, like, insecurity that comes sometimes, and, like, am I saying this right? I always joke around how, like, I can't even speak proper Spanish or proper English, because a veces se te sale una palabra mm-hmm. in Spanish, and then it's like, okay, that was not supposed to come out. I'm, like, talking in English, and so just the fact that Spanglish is recognized alone is so awesome. And I think it's so great that in this book that you're not only telling your story, but you're putting out there, like, the reality of what being bicultural is, the reality of what being Mexican American or Latin American is. Like, we have more than one language, we have more than one culture, we are dealing with two pieces of ourselves that sometimes we'll never even fully mush together, but they're two mm-hmm. important pieces of ourselves and our identity. So I think it's amazing that you did that. And I mean, it's cool that you had the reference in the back that explains to just the English speaking person what those words meant. But I feel like any Mexican American or Latin American that speaks Spanish and will be reading your book is gonna just reading a sentence with the word that they have heard or some kind of, you know, word that they use in their daily life is going to give them more of that connection with you and your story than anybody else that's just reading it in English.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think you bring up such a good point because it just means like our stories need to be told. So it's not just mine. I think one of the things I want to encourage people is to keep telling those stories. Because how often, I don't think we do it consciously, but I feel like I myself really internalize this idea of my parents left Mexico for a better life, because that's what we're told, that's what we hear all the time. And one of the things that I recognized was that a better life depends on your perspective. Because I personally appreciate the slow-paced life, like eating food from, you know, farm to table, like, you know, everything fresco, like this and that, you know, from el vecino and this and that. So it just depends on your perspective. Other people really like the fast-paced life, the opportunity, the financial opportunities here in America. So it just depends on you and what you appreciate, but it's all valid. And it's really about encouraging people to find their own path, given the opportunities we were granted by our parents, by our grandparents, and continuing that legacy of going after what you want. Because essentially, that's what our parents did.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think you're right. I think you hit a really strong point there. And my mom actually used to say that she had a good life in Mexico, but that she left for just more opportunity because she knew she wouldn't have that in Mexico and that her kids wouldn't have it. So she never did, because I have heard stories before where people kind of get it, I don't want to say thrown in their face, but sort of mm-hmm. like, we left Mexico so that you guys could make, you know, have a better mm-hmm. life and so you guys could make better decisions. And the way, at least in my experience, where she broke it down was, I left Mexico so that I could have more opportunities with hope that if I had children, then you guys had even more opportunities than mm-hmm. I will being here. And so it was never kind of like, you need to repay me, but it did give me that sense of like, I want to make her proud mm-hmm. because I do have more opportunities. And then simply the fact that I'm Mexican American and born here, but my kids will have more opportunities obviously than I have, etc. And so it's just a way of like passing down the torch kind of and seeing what you can do with it in your time period.
For sure. Yeah, I think a big experience for me was I always understood of a big sacrifice. And maybe it was because as a kid, I always enjoyed going to Mexico. Like it was fun for us. We liked hanging out with our cousins.
Yes.
Fun, you know? And there was a part of me that never let go of that. So one thing I always understood, it's funny because I've done therapy and I remember once talking to, a white therapist and I was kind of like trying to explain to her, like, I feel there's a big burden on my shoulders of trying to be successful for my family because mm-hmm. I was the first to go to college. I was the first, you know, to go to a professional career, do all of those things. Right. And she didn't understand the idea of sacrifice. She was like, what sacrifice? She talked about sacrifice only being when you leave something good behind for something better or something like that. And I don't think a lot of Americans or a lot of people recognize that our parents and our family might leave a lot of good things behind. Considering the Latin culture, a lot of the times they leave family behind. A lot of the times they leave their community behind, their history, like their patria. You know, Latin American countries are very proud of their countries. So they have to leave all of that behind, even if it is for a safer environment or for more opportunities. What's really tied to her culture is like central things. And a lot of the times they're leaving that behind. And that itself is worth a lot. And people don't give it that much worth in the American culture. And I think that's what I really wanted to bring back, is that there is a lot of work, there is a lot of history, there is a lot of things that are valuable for us. And when we take the time to reconnect with it, we see how both of those are identities are really worthwhile for our own experience.
Yes, yes, I totally agree. I actually had a very similar experience. My first therapist was a white lady. And now me being a therapist, I mean, much love to my white therapist friends or acquaintances, but it does take just understanding the culture to really get where a Latino or Mexican American individual is coming from, because there is that big like burden of wanting to succeed for your family, the difference of the acculturation between us and our parents, the fact that family does really come first, and sometimes you get so stuck between deciding like for simply, you know, moving away for college or not leaving because you're feeling like if I leave, I'm abandoning them and they might need me. They might need me to support and help out financially, etc. But I also want to leave and live my own life and chase my own goals and my own dreams. So there's always that like struggle of like, how much am I doing for myself, still considering my family? And how much am I doing for my family, also considering myself? Mm-hmm. And so I can definitely relate to that part, because I think it's a sense of just being able to connect with those, both of those sides of ourselves, and being proud of that pride. One of the things that comes up for me, I get this all the time, but whenever Mexico and USA play in a soccer game. I'm a huge soccer fan, and my family was a big soccer, like we were big soccer fanatics, but I'm crazy Mexico fan, like big old flag, face painted jersey, you name it, screaming. And I have friends telling me all the time, like, but you're American. I was like, no, you don't understand the pride that's there with this Mexican side. Like, it doesn't even relate. Like, it doesn't relate to someone as proud as to be American on the 4th of July. I love the 4th of July as well, but it's a different kind of pride when that when that flag is waving. It's just, you feel it all. You feel the blood that's running through your veins. You feel the sacrifices. You feel the hard work that your parents have put in. You see your mom and the toilets she used to scrub when she first got here. Like, you see it all. Mm-hmm. And that's where that grito comes from. That's where that pride comes from. When you're listening to a song, when you're watching a game, when you're watching a movie in your language, when you're hearing stories, that's where the pride comes from. It's totally different, but it's always so hard to explain. And I'm like, look, just let me yell, let me sing, and because you're not going to get it, and I really don't even bother to explain it sometimes anymore.
Yeah, you explained it so beautifully, though, because that is exactly the feeling. What's funny is, so I arrived in Mexico September 16, which is Mexican Independence Day. And I remember the pride of seeing like Mexican flags everywhere. Like, it was just this orgullo, and like, exactly like you said, you feel it in your blood, you feel it everywhere. I don't have that same feeling like on 4th of July, or like, you know, or seeing the American flag. Like, I'm still grateful, but it's not like beaming from my heart and, you know, from me, and it's very different.
Exactly. It is very different. And I can say I feel a little bit of pride. Like, I'll go to a baseball game, and for example, you know, you get up and you hear the anthem, and, you know, they say the Pledge of Allegiance, and everyone puts their hat down or whatever and their hand across. But for some reason, like, I see that as more of a level of respect.
Yes.
And not the same pride that I have when I'm going crazy waving the Mexican flag.
Yeah.
It's like totally different.
Versus the other experience, which is respect. You know, because I remember going to a soccer game in Mexico, and it was like crazy, loud, happy. Like, it was just a different experience. And it's like a party everywhere you go. but in the American culture is more respectful, is more like toned down, I guess. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Yeah. It is super hard to explain, but I can relate to what you were saying. So you've told us a little bit already of like what came up for you while you were there. I'm curious what if you there's anything else that's coming up for you. What are like what was one of the biggest lessons you learned while you were in Mexico or some that have came up for you? Mm-hmm. And how did the experience change your life, your perspective? Like, how has that changed how you're living now? Like, what have you came back with, I guess?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think the first and the biggest lesson that I've learned is just the importance of your own personal intention. So I think before I just like went with the steps of what I thought would consider would get me to a successful life, right? Like what people told me and things like that. When I went to Mexico, I had to be very intentional about what I was doing. And what I mean by that is just being grateful for those opportunities that you have. So for me, like sitting and sharing a meal with both of my abuelos, who are now 91 and 86, like how lucky am I to have that experience? And what am I going to do in that moment? So for me, it was appreciating that I was there and then asking questions for my grandparents. What was your childhood like? What was it like when my dad left? What was it like when he came back? Tell me about your brothers and sisters, or what about your grandparents? What was life for you when you were a kid? What was it like raising kids in Mexico during your time? All of these questions I would have never asked if I had never given myself the time and the space to do it. And what's really great about now is that I had this big experience that really transformed how I see my identity. And now I make a big effort to not code switch as much as I used to before. So like I have a day job now, and for Mexican Independence Day, me puse mi guanengo, and I was like, I'm going to represent my culture because I'm so proud of it, even though our dress code is business professional, right? So it's like, how do I tie in my culture and make myself seen who, you know, based on who I really am in my workspace? So I think that, like, just the pride is very different, where I'm not really willing to wash out my culture to make other people comfortable. So I think that's the biggest change. And then being intentional about questions. When I came back, I still recognize how privileged I am to have my abuelos. So when I call them, I make it an intention to not just only check in with them, like, ¿cómo están? ¿Cómo están todos allá? But actually ask questions like, what was it like, you know, to live at that time or at this time? And tell me about my tías and tell me about my dad. And every time I hear one of those stories, I learn something very important about my family and my lineage and my heritage. But it takes really being vulnerable and asking those questions.
Awesome. I like how you've just implemented it as bringing what you learn and what you know, what has came up for you in that adventure and just making it a part of you. And that's amazing because you're now back in the States, you're back to the normal, you know, civilian life of a day job and responsibilities, bills, etc. But you're still able to bring in your culture. I like that you did that, like you wore that with pride. You're representing, and not only that, but it sounded to me like even more now you're realizing how blessed you are and how privileged you are to still simply be able to have the opportunity to have your grandparents still alive and being able to call and interact with them and connect with them, doing the same and with the family members here, just bringing it all together. It's amazing. And I think it sounds like it's benefit you to just be an even better version of yourself before you took that trip.
Yeah, for sure. I think what I recognize is that I'm the one that has to feed where I want. So I think before I relied on a lot of my parents. And now it was up to me to go to Mexico. It was up to me to ask those questions. When I came back, I visited my other grandma. She passed away last year, but I was able to see her in Chicago, and it was up to me. Whereas before, I would have waited for my mom, like, "Hey, mom, can you like le hablas a mi tia and ask her if it's okay?" This time, I took the lead, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna come visit. I want to go see my grandma." So it was very much about what do I want to do and how am I gonna make it happen, and being very intentional. And I think right now we're in an interesting time, you know, being in quarantine, stay at home. What are we doing with that to help us stay connected? A lot of the things that I learned was like, come bien. So usually when I see that I'm not my best self, it's probably because I haven't cooked in a while, or I haven't called my family with a very intentional way, or I've been disconnected from the things that make me happy. And because of my experience in Mexico, I cannot now tell like what am I missing and what do I need to bring back in my life and who do I need to talk to in a better way to stay connected and really grounded in those experiences and in family and in community.
It's amazing. It's amazing what that did for you. It's really brought you to live your very best life, your very best quality life, and recognizing when you're not fulfilled and when you're not feeling fully yourself or happy and how to fulfill that. And that's super important. I mean, that's therapy work right there all on its own. So everyone should just go to Mexico. I'm just kidding.
Exactly. Right?
I'm just kidding. You
It
should still see your therapist, especially because I'm one of them and I totally need you guys to see me for my job.
you should stay at home.
I mean, despite the pandemic going on, what are you doing now? What do you have planned for your pathway now that you are back in the US? I know you have a day job. I don't think you shared where that is, so maybe if you want to share a little bit about that. And lastly, with that question, what do you want to accomplish with your book?
Yeah, so about my day job, I work for a nonprofit. It's called Year Up. So I work directly with students who typically are first generation. We call them opportunity youth. So it's young adults who wouldn't normally have the opportunity to be successful in corporate America. And what we do is we connect them to college courses that prep them for a corporate internship. And a lot of our students end up with a full-time job. So what's cool about where I work here in Phoenix is that the majority of the students are first generation, and majority of them are Latinos who are really in that same path that I was. So I get a chance to really mentor them and guide them through that path. But what I really highlight is to be proud of where you come from and that story that you carry, but not just yours, but also your parents and that lineage you come from. And that really ties into kind of like what my mission is to really clarify the importance of staying rooted and connected to your culture and your heritage. Because I think a lot of empowerment does come from that, but we don't give enough time to reflect. What my experience was being a first generation American was that I almost saw myself as the beginning of the legacy here in America. But the reality is that our legacy expands to different countries, and that's how far it goes. So now I'm very empowered by my story of knowing my heritage, of knowing my family, of knowing everything that they've accomplished from generation to generation, and how it continues. It doesn't start with me, but it continues and it keeps going. And
Yes, yes.
that's what my biggest mission is let's not think of us as just a start, but a continuation. But I think in order for that to happen, we really need to stay connected with our roots and ask those questions, because I think we find a lot of empowerment when we learn more about where we come from.
I totally agree. I definitely agree with that. And I'm so glad to hear that you're utilizing your experiences, your space of work to just spread that message, because I think it's important. And it's already bad enough that our cultural pride and experiences are almost forcibly suppressed by the westernized model of our education system, our mental health system, all of it. I mean, you name it. And so when we bring in that pride and we don't let that tear it down from us, it says something about our identity there, and it allows us to have that pride con el orgullo que debe de ser, mm-hmm. that you are you know, Mexican American or Latin American, you do come from another beautiful different culture, you do are very gifted to know this other beautiful language, and that needs to be represented with pride. And I think mm-hmm. that's the only way, especially for those of us now out of college and in these professions, to teach that so that the generations to come, even if they're third, fourth, fifth generation, you name it, maybe not even know the language, unfortunately, but so that they can still have that pride of who they are and where they come from, because I think it is being maybe even, you know, washed off or starting to be forced to be forgotten. And I think I'm so glad to hear that you're doing that for the youth, because it's important to be able to have individuals like you that they can look up to and be like, why not? Why shouldn't I be proud of this? Why shouldn't I be proud of who I am and where I come from and use it to my advantage as I become a professional in this country?
Yeah, thank you for that. Because it really is important. It's really about modeling for others our pride and where we can go with it.
I totally agree. That's why I go waving my flag around.
Exactly.
Just to end the Q&A part, did you have any words of wisdom or advice you want to give to our listeners?
Advice. I would say whatever you feel like is missing, just start asking the questions, because I think, and be courageous enough to do it, because you just never know who you might inspire. For me, it was interesting because I went on this grand adventure, and when I came back, my mom decided to go back to her fiestas and her rancho, which she said she hadn't done since she migrated over here. So she had gone back to Mexico, but not to her fiestas. And that was an effect of me, you know, going off on my own and doing that. And asking those questions and being intentional and having different kinds of conversations with our family, I think is the best thing we could do right now when everybody's at home. So I think that's my biggest piece of advice, is just be courageous, be curious, and find out more about you, your family, and the culture and the heritage you come from.
That's amazing. I love, love, love those words of advice. For our listeners, las personas que nos están escuchando en español, perdónenme, me olvidé completamente. No me olvidé de ustedes, pero ¿cómo se dice? Me perdí un poquito en la conversación aquí. Pero Mayra estaba hablando, diciéndonos un poquito de su experiencia, que ha escrito este libro que se llama Aventura, Amor y Tacos, y nos estaba diciendo de su experiencia, de lo que la llegó a decidir de irse a vivir unos meses a México a experimentar un poquito con la vida de México, que tuvieron sus padres viviendo con sus abuelos. Le pregunté preguntas de qué fue lo que aprendió, qué fue lo que reconoció de ella misma estando allá, y qué es lo que ella ha traído para atrás con ella misma. Mayra, si pudieras darle un poquito de lo que estábamos hablando, ya sé que hablamos mucho en inglés, pero un poquito de tu experiencia, de tu historia, y de lo que te ha llegado a escribir este libro, para las personas que nos están escuchando en español.
Sí. Bueno, pues primeramente nomás quiero compartir que regresando a México y estando allí unos 5 meses con mis abuelos, me enseñó mucho de qué bonita es la cultura. Es algo que yo ya sabía, pero de reconocerla y de vivirla todos los días me hace apreciar más el sacrificio que mis padres hicieron cuando llegaron a este país nuevo. Así que entendí más de historia familiar, de la cultura, de todo lo que ofrece un país, y también no solamente el sacrificio, pero el coraje y el valor que tiene uno cuando viene una familia de inmigrantes. Así que Yo escribiendo este libro, lo que quiero hacer es dar la experiencia y la oportunidad para que otros jóvenes o también como padres puedan reconectarse con esas raíces y con esa cultura, y más en este país que no trata a los hispanos, a los latinos, a personas con respeto de que, verdad, nosotros tenemos mucho que ofrecer. Y eso yo lo realicé más y más con todo el tiempo que pasé ahí en México. Y la verdad, de apreciar la cultura tan bonita, los ranchos tan humildes y tan amorosos que son, y también empoderarme de todo lo que significa venir de dos culturas.
Muchas, muchas gracias, Mayra. Y perdónenme otra vez por no preguntar las preguntas en inglés y español, pero nos perdimos un poquito en la conversación. Espero que busquen su libro, Aventura, Amor y Tacos. Y también vamos a hacer un giveaway, vamos a dar un regalo acá entre nos en nuestro Instagram. Después de que salga este episodio, para la oportunidad de ganarse un libro firmado por la autora Mayra. I'd love for you guys to get your hands on this book. We are actually going to be doing a giveaway of a signed copy from the author herself in the next couple of days after this episode is released. So I'd like to read you all the excerpt that Mayra has in the back of the book. So here it is. Traveling has always been a part of my heart. I realize now that I got my travel bug from my parents. It started the moment they decided to immigrate to the US and all of those years they took us on those road trips back to Mexico and instilled in us the importance of family and tradition. My heart was always looking for ways to return to Mexico. The courage that I needed to put in my 2 weeks' notice to travel back to the motherland and to have faith that I would be all right came from them, from the example they set going to a country they didn't know, figuring it out, and realizing that it turned out all right for them. I didn't need to find the courage out on an adventure, but the adventure did help me realize that I had courage in me all along as an inheritance from my family. All I needed was to reconnect with it. In Aventura, Amor y Tacos, Mayra Hernandez traveled to her motherland in Michoacán, Mexico, to spend several months with her abuelos in the ranchos her parents were raised in to reconnect to the life they had left behind. In this journey through the motherland, you will understand your bicultural identity and what has been missing, nourish yourself in the richness of your culture, connect with traditions, relatives and the land your family originated from, understand importance of your roots and your family's journey, prepare to be a good ancestor by passing on the history and customs of your culture to the next generation. La vida se acaba. Life is short to wait and learn more about your culture, especially if you are lucky enough to still have living abuelos. Your cultural heritage is sacred. Don't let fear hold you back from your eat, pray, love adventure with your own cultural twists. Doesn't that sound like a good read, y'all? Y'all definitely need to get a hand on this book. I cannot wait to start reading my copy personally. Thank you again so much, Mayra, for joining us. But most importantly, thank you so much for just being able to open up yourself and to allow our listeners in our community to learn a little bit more about you and that adventure that got you to Mexico and got you to self-explore. I think your story, more than anything, more than the culture, more than the history, is also telling a story about a woman who, I don't want to say was lost, but a woman that was caught up in just like the regular 9-to-5 kind of job life, and you were able to take that moment and get out of it and just get out of what was no longer making you happy, and being able to just find yourself to this adventure and grow from it and bring back a even, like I said earlier, even more better version of yourself, and knowing yourself more than anything now and what you want, what you deserve, and what truly makes you happy. And you're able to continue to have those connections with what you brought back from Mexico and what you continue to have here in the States.
Thank you, Kelsey. I appreciate you for having me. And I also appreciate this platform you have because you give a space for us to share our stories and highlight what it is to live a Spanglish experience. So thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. En español, nomás le di las gracias a Mayra y por más de todo, le di las gracias por tomar este espacio para decirnos un poquito de su historia, de su experiencia en esa aventura que tuvo viviendo esos pocos meses en México y de lo que salió, no solo su libro, pero también su desarrollo de ella misma, de lo que ella ha encontrado que la ha hecho que descubra qué es lo que de veras es ella, qué es lo que ella quiere representar en su vida ahora que está viviendo otra vez aquí en los Estados Unidos. And of course, some things remain the same here at Acántenos. We still love chisme, and I think it is important as a community to keep ourselves informed of what's happening. Las cosas siguen aquí. Igual aquí en Acántenos, todavía nos gusta el chisme, pero más de todo me gustaría hablar un poquito ahorita de todas las cosas que están pasando porque creo que es importante seguir estar informados de todo lo que está pasando. We are recording midway of fourth week of our country's social distancing orders, and we hope that you guys are holding up the best that you can and are staying safe. When we were offline, actually, Mayra and I, because she is currently in Arizona, we were talking a little bit about the differences of, like, the rules and laws that they have implemented here in LA area, San Diego County, where I'm at, or even, like, Riverside County and the counties around me in comparison to Arizona. And I was telling her that I actually have family in Arizona, too, and my cousin was saying we're a little behind, we're barely starting to close things down. And she was actually telling me that they still got nail shops and certain places open in Arizona because they're seen as essential. And I said, what? We definitely don't have that here. So we're a little bit, I guess I could say, not on the right path when it comes to a country as a whole and what we need to do to be staying safe. But what I'd like to do for today's chisme is I'd like to remind you all that as of right now, our coronavirus number in the U.S. are at 400,000 with a death toll of 12,900. And that was actually recorded earlier in the day at 1 p.m. I wanted to get the most exact number that I could as we came into this evening to record this episode. Again, we're recording this today on Wednesday, April 8th, which will probably might not be released until about Friday. So who knows where our numbers will be at then. But I think this is to show us that this virus is very serious and it's very important for all of us to put in that effort, each on our part, to stay safe and to just, you know, keep ourselves healthy and be cautious of what you have to do to stay away from that virus. And it's not just for your own health and well-being, but also for the health and well-being of those around you. We have to remember that one wrong move from any of us can expose us and lead us to contaminating those in our homes without knowledge of how severely this can affect those around us. It might not severely affect you, and it could severely affect someone that lives with you or vice versa. But also being indoors can cause our emotional and mental well-being to negatively increase. And that to me is the biggest thing that I preach, especially being a mental health provider. We have to continue to check in with ourselves and those around us to see how we can best take care of what it is that we need in these moments where we're feeling kind of claustrophobic and caught up inside, maybe even a little bit of cabin fever, but also checking in with those around you and making sure that they're doing okay and they're holding up all right. And unfortunately, as you guys know, we are limited. We are limited, especially people are losing their jobs right now. Our lives are truly changing. And so we have to put in the effort to find ways to, like, decrease our worries and our anxieties And increase our intuition with how we're feeling and how we're processing, checking in with those around us, family members, siblings, friends that might have lost their jobs, our neighbors, even our acquaintances. If you are an individual that lost your job, just think that your life, you know, you might have other family members that are able to help in these tough times in comparison to a coworker that might not have anybody to count on or anybody to help them. So I think it's super, super important to check in with each other and to lean on each other in these moments. We have to build and connect as a community to kind of get through it. And I just wanted to share and give that message to you guys. These times can lead to homesteadings to have an increase in chaos as well. If you're living with more than one or two people, it's been a long time. I'm sure if you guys can recall that everyone's been in a home all at the same time. So that's definitely going to bring emotions and experiences that could be really hard to deal with. So learning how to set boundaries, communicate with each other, give each other the space that you need, and just checking in and make sure everyone's okay. Just a couple of resources that are out there. It's really important that you guys know, and you could find it wherever you are in your area, the American Suicide and Crisis Hotline. You know, if you ever need someone to talk to, or there's you're experiencing sort of like mental health issues with all of that's going on, make sure that you utilize that resource. Here in California, we also have the 211 dial line for local resources. And you can actually get anything there from like any like medical, mental health resources. There's food and financial assistance resources and other like programs and nonprofits that are offering their services. It's sort of a line that you can call and get anything. Lastly, I also heard about a couple of days ago, I heard about betterhelp.com, and it's actually like an online counseling service. And I heard they're offering 2 free weeks of online counseling. So if anyone is interested, I definitely recommend that we utilize all the resources that we can get right now in these moments. En español, solo les quería decir que estamos grabando a medio de la cuarta semana de cuarentena. Hoy es miércoles, abril 8. Y quizás cuando ustedes escuchen este episodio ya será el viernes o después del viernes. Pero yo solo quería hablar un poquito de todo lo que está pasando ahorita con el virus. Me gustaría recordarles que esto es algo muy serio, hay que tomarlo en serio y para protegernos no solo a nosotros mismos, pero también a la gente a nuestro alrededor, nuestros familiares y con los que vivimos. Yo hoy a las 1 de la tarde chequeé los números y solo en los Estados Unidos estamos a 400,000 casos con el coronavirus y 12,900 muertes en los Estados Unidos. Esto va siendo miércoles, que puede ser que los números hayan cambiado demasiado para el tiempo que ustedes escuchen este episodio. Pero quería darles esos números para que reconozcan que esto sí es importante y que tenemos que hacer el mejor esfuerzo para mantenernos saludables, sanos y proteger a nuestros familiares y las personas a nuestro alrededor. Cualquier movimiento incorrecto de cualquiera de nosotros que no esté tomando esto en serio puede exponernos y llevarnos a contaminar a los que están en nuestros hogares sin saber cuál gravemente será el caso de ellos y cómo serán ellos afectados con esta enfermedad. So, quiero que se acuerden que no solo en estos tiempos hay que pensar nomás en nosotros, pero también en los demás. Y también quería decirles que creo que es importante trabajar como comunidad, es importante conectarse con las personas a su alrededor, hasta con ustedes mismos, de entender qué es lo que están sintiendo emocionalmente, qué es lo que están pensando y poder tomar el tiempo para hacer ese check-in con los demás que están a su alrededor, de asegurarse que estén bien. Esta situación ha traído mucho estrés, ha traído muchos mucho, pues, mucha preocupación porque no estamos seguros cuánto tiempo va a pasar y qué es lo que va a pasar después de este tiempo. Muchas personas han perdido su trabajo, saben que no van a estar bien financieramente, no tienen lo necesario para tener lo que necesitan para pagar la renta, para pagar la casa, para agarrar la comida para el mes que viene, pagar los biles, etcétera. Y so esto lo que está haciendo está causando mucho estrés. Entonces creo que es muy, muy importante y me gustaría animarlos a todos que se comuniquen con sus amistades, con sus familias, con sus vecinos. Nos tenemos que juntar como comunidad en este tiempo difícil, hasta con sus compañeros de trabajo. Acuérdense que si ustedes son una persona que perdieron su trabajo, tal vez tu situación sea diferente y tengas la ayuda que necesites de familiares en estos momentos duros, pero puede ser que un compañero de trabajo no tiene esas mismas oportunidades. So, creo que es muy importante hacer el esfuerzo de conectarnos como una comunidad y asegurar de que la gente a nuestro alrededor, nuestros conocidos, también estén bien. Nomás quería darles unos recursos útiles que se pueden usar aquí en la área de California. Es muy importante recordarse y recordar a la gente a su alrededor que hay una línea directa para personas con pensamientos de suicidio o en momentos de crisis mentales en los Estados Unidos, que pueden llamar, pueden nomás ir al Google y buscar el número en tu área y te da una línea directa donde puedes hablar con personas y profesionales que te pueden ayudar en esos momentos que estés emocionalmente estresado o que estés teniendo un tiempo pesado mentalmente. También hay un número aquí en los Estados Unidos, bueno, digo en California, perdón, el 211, y ese es para todos los recursos locales, cualquiera de los recursos que necesiten, que se necesite con la salud física, salud mental, asistencia de alimentarios, asistencia de financieros. Ese número va directo y te preguntan en qué área vives y te darán todos los recursos de cualquier programa que podrías utilizar en estos momentos. Y porque Mayra y yo estamos en diferentes estados, because Mayra and I are in different states, I'm going to pass it over to her because I'd like for her to also provide some resources to our fellow Arizonian listeners, and to anybody who might even be listening in California but has family members and other people that they know in the state of Arizona that you could also utilize these resources. So why don't you take that over, Mayra?
Yeah, here in Phoenix, the biggest resource we can find a lot of those contacts is going to be at phoenix.gov/resources. Para todos los recursos aquí en la ciudad de Phoenix y en Arizona, el lugar donde se pueden comunicar cuáles son los recursos es en el web de phoenix.gov, G-O-V, slash resources, que es R-E-S-O-U-R-C-E. Y aquí se pueden encontrar todas las organizaciones donde ayudan a encontrar trabajo, especialmente ahorita con mucha gente que está perdiendo sus trabajos, o si se necesita comida en las escuelas, con organizaciones. También los teléfonos de crisis o para ayuda médica también durante estos tiempos. So these resources are related to everything with job placement, jobs that are available at the current time, healthcare, mental health care, food resources as well for anybody who might need them during this time.
Thank you so much for that, Mayra. Thank you for that information. Muchas gracias, Mayra, por esa información. Espero que estos recursos y esta información que nosotros les hemos dado el día de hoy les ayude o pueda ayudar a algún conocido, algún familiar. Acuérdense que somos una comunidad, no solo los latinos, pero todos como el estado, todos los estados de los Estados Unidos, y creo que es importante ayudarnos y juntarnos en estos momentos, aunque sea darnos recursos e información para poder ayudarnos en estos momentos difíciles, esperando y rezando para los que sean creyentes que pronto se acabe todo esto, pero espero que hagan lo mejor de su parte para conectarse, tomar el tiempo de de check-in con la familia y asegurar que todos estén bien, pero también checking in con ustedes mismos, checking in with yourselves, remembering that these are tough times, and for those that are believers, obviously we hope that and we pray that this passes soon, but we have to try our best to kind of stick together as a community and stick by each other's side. Thank you so much again, Mayra, for joining us. I am so excited and glad that we were able to finally do this episode. Mayra and I had so many conflictions with our schedules, but I'm so glad we finally were able to record and I was able to get her on this platform to share a little bit about her book. I really cannot wait to read it. Thank you, Mayra, for joining us. If anyone is interested in sharing their story or know of anyone that is, please send them my way. I have plenty of time these days, especially with the pandemic, so I'd love to get some episodes out there. You can email me at acantrenosfam@gmail.com or reach out to me via Instagram or Facebook. Si alguien está interesado en compartir su historia o conoce a alguien que está con el que usted está en contacto, mándelos hacia mí. Puede enviarme un correo electrónico acá entre nos fam@gmail.com o comunicarse conmigo a través de Instagram y Facebook. Before we get going and finally say goodbye, Mayra, did you want to let them know where they can find you on social media? ¿Te gustaría contarle a las personas escuchando dónde te pueden encontrar en Facebook o en Instagram?
Sí, si me quieren encontrar, estoy disponible en Instagram o en Facebook, @aventura.amor.tacos en esas dos redes sociales. For anybody who wants to find me, I'm most active on Instagram and on Facebook @aventuraamoritacos with periods in between those words. And also you can find my book on Amazon. If you want to read it, feel free to check out my Instagram page and you'll find the links there.
Yes, and stay tuned for our giveaway to have the opportunity to win a copy signed by the author that will definitely be active and going on Instagram as soon as this episode is released. Thank you so much again for listening. We hope and wish for a very peaceful time during this quarantine. I wish you all nothing but good health and good vibes and energies. Thanks again, Mayra. Until next time, hasta la próxima. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you so much.